liable.
It was blackmail. And in the end, Nedry had been forced to eat his overages on Jurassic Park and to make the changes that Hammond wanted. But later, when he was approached by Lewis Dodgson at Viasin, Nedry was ready to listen, and able to say that he could indeed get past Jurassic Park security. He could get into any room, any system, anywhere in the park, because he had programmed it that way, just in case. He entered the fertilization room. The lab was deserted. As he had anticipated, all the staff was at dinner. Nedry unzipped his shoulder bag and removed the can of Gillette shaving cream. He unscrewed the base and saw the interior was divided into a series of cylindrical slots. He pulled on a pair of heavy insulated gloves and opened the walk-in freezer marked Contents Viable, Biological, Maintain Minus 10 Degrees Centigrade Minimum. The freezer was the size of a small closet, with shelves from floor to ceiling. Most of the shelves contained reagents and liquids in plastic sacks. To one side, he saw a smaller nitrogen cold box with a heavy ceramic door. He opened it, and a rack of small tubes slid out in a cloud of white liquid nitrogen smoke. The embryos were arranged by species: Stegosaurus, Apatosaurus, Hadrosaurus, Tyrannosaurus. Each embryo in a thin glass container, wrapped in silver foil, stoppered with polylene. Nedry quickly took two of each, slipping them into the shaving cream can. Then he screwed the base of the can shut and twisted the top. There was a hiss of releasing gas inside, and the can frosted in his hands. Dodgson had said there was enough coolant to last 36 hours, more than enough time to get back to San Jose. Nedry left the freezer, returned to the main lab. He dropped the can back in his bag, zipped it shut. He went back into the hallway. The theft had taken less than 2 minutes. He could imagine the consternation upstairs in the control room as they began to realize what had happened. All their security codes were scrambled and all their phone lines were jammed. Without his help, it would take hours to untangle the mess. But in just a few minutes, Nedry would be back in the control room setting things right, and no one would ever suspect what he had done. Grinning, Dennis Nedry walked down to the ground floor, nodded to the guard, and continued downstairs to the basement. Passing the neat lines of electric Land Cruisers, he went to the gasoline-powered Jeep parked against the wall. He climbed into it, noticing some odd gray tubing on the passenger seat. It looked almost like a rocket launcher, he thought, as he turned the ignition key and started the Jeep. Nedry glanced at his watch. From here into the park, and 3 minutes straight to the East Dock. 3 minutes from there, back to the control room. Piece of cake. Damn it, Arnold said, punching buttons on the console. It's all screwed up. Muldoon was standing at the windows looking out at the park. The lights had gone out all over the island, except in the immediate area around the main buildings. He saw a few staff personnel hurrying to get out of the rain, but no one seemed to realize anything was wrong. Muldoon looked over at the visitor lodge, where the lights burned brightly. Uh-oh, Arnold said. We have real trouble. What's that? Muldoon said. He turned away from the window, and so he didn't see the Jeep drive out of the underground garage and head east along the maintenance road into the park. That idiot Nedry turned off the security systems, Arnold said. The whole building's opened up. None of the doors are locked anymore. I'll notify the guards, Muldoon said. That's the least of it, Arnold said. When you turn off the security, you turn off all the peripheral fences as well. The fences? Muldoon said.